everyone, my name is Bianca and welcome to my podcast regarding nutrition and movement. For those who don't know me, I am a 27-year-old Italian girl. I have a degree in exercise science and I'm attending a university degree course in human nutrition science to become a nutritionist. I apologize in advance because my English is far from perfect, but I'm not a native speaker, obviously. I leave all my contacts below, including my Instagram name, even if my contents are in Italian language. Here, I will talk about nutrition and health, in addition to sport and movement, with a scientific approach, but I'll add personal considerations too. Hello again. Today, I'm gonna talk about metabolism. Metabolism is a term used to describe all the chemical reactions useful in maintaining the living state of the cells and therefore of the whole organism. Metabolism can be divided into catabolism and anabolism. But I won't go deeper with other definitions and I'll try to explain it better. Metabolism is the set of biochemical processes essential to produce energy starting from what we introduce with food. Our body receives nutrients and uses them accordingly to the body's demands. So, let's imagine a two-pan balance or scale, I don't know how to say it. On the plates there is the introduction of food on one end and energy consumption on the other. In reality, other factors come into play such as genetics, age, lifestyle, training level and body composition of the person. When we talk about metabolism, weight is also important, but it is the muscle mass that really counts. The ultimate goal is to convert the energy that we introduce with food into mechanical energy to move, to do things, make everything work within us. The faster the metabolism converts food into energy, the faster the movement speeds up. For example, let's think of a little bird that flies and moves its wings so fast that we can't even see them. That little bird has a super fast metabolism compared to ours. It has an exaggerated number of heartbeats per minute compared to us. Another example, another animal that we all know is a sloth. Is very, very, very slow. It takes him an hour to do, I think, 250 meters when he is really motivated also. Yet, it has a super hyper metabolism. If we think about it, with little energy, it can do a lot of things. The sloth's diet is based on leaves, green, watery vegetables, so the animal's metabolism is very slow for this reason. I also add that it takes up to a month to digest all the cellulose it eats. Returning to humans, in technical terms, the energy we are able to use to move, our fuel, derived from food is called ATP. There are three systems for creating ATP inside our body. The first one is oxygen-free creatine phosphate, that is a mechanism for anaerobic lactated exercises that we use, for example, when we sprint, we make a fast run. And this kind of metabolism recharges when exertion decreases in about 10 minutes. The second type of system for creating ATP is anaerobic glycolysis of glucose from 3 seconds to 3 minutes. It always works because it is also the basis for the aerobic system. Glucose is split into two, pyruvate without oxygen, builds up and turns into lactate. It is not waste because if there is oxygen, it is transformed back into pyruvate. It keeps us ready to use the aerobic metabolism, that is the third mechanism to build up ATP. I'll try to sum up and explain me better. Exercising muscle, like all cells, requires energy to function. That energy is found within the molecular bonds of adenosine triphosphate, that is to say ATP. When the chemical energy within ATP is transferred to muscle contraction, adenosine diphosphate, ADP, and phosphate are formed. Additional energy is required to reverse this reaction. The energy required to resynthesize ATP is transferred from the food we eat, carbohydrates and fats, via specific biochemical pathways within our cells. The cycle of ATP via aerobic and anaerobic metabolic biochemistry is known as ATP turnover. Aerobic and anaerobic metabolisms each utilize distinct energy transfer mechanisms, even though both serve to resynthesize ATP. They each take place and often at different rates, involve different reactants, products, and products reactant ratios, invoke unlike types of biochemical reactions, exploit different types of energy gradients, and subsequently appear to operate with distinct efficiency. So let's start from anaerobic metabolism. The breakdown of carbohydrates, glucose, and glycogen involves both anaerobic and aerobic biochemistry. Energy is contained within the molecular bonds of glucose and is released during their breakdown in a process called glycolysis. Glycolysis starts with a 6-carbon sugar as a reactant and ends up with 2 free carbon molecules as products. Glycolysis also resynthesized ATP, but it is not important to us now. Lactate appearance is a natural part of an accelerated anaerobic metabolism where substrate level phosphorylation provides a significant amount of ATP and heat, that is the energy expenditure. The more intense the exercise, the faster is the rate of ATP hydrolysis and the more glucose and glycogen are transferred fuel to resynthesize ATP. Lactate disappearance occurs through a variety of means. Dipyruvate to lactate reactions is reversible, but the heat produced from the rapid formation of lactate is not. Pyruvate may then undergo subsequent aerobic metabolism. That we'll see now. So, talking about aerobic metabolism, as the body breaks down glucose, a simple sugar molecule, in the first dozen steps, it produces a compound called pyruvate. When this compound enters the mitochondria, or powerhouse, of the cell, aerobic metabolism occurs in which this compound is oxidized and turned into carbon dioxide and water. Aerobic metabolism extracts energy from carbohydrate source, fatty acids, and amino acids also. Knowing the 3 types of metabolism is important to understand how we produce energy, and it is useful when we want to train a little better, because we use a type of metabolism to, for instance, go fast in bicycle or for running or other intense activity. And we use the aerobic one to run for long distances or to skiing or to make long and low intensity exercise. At the aerobic threshold, the 99% of energy comes from the 3rd type of metabolism, so the aerobic one. So to train the 3rd type of metabolism, the aerobic one, you have to go run or cycle very, very slowly, even if it is boring and not very funny to train. However, I have to say, it is good not to focus only and too much on metabolism training, because it can improve faster than the body itself. Aerobic capacity can be so trained that it keeps us from going for a long time, but maybe we don't have enough muscle strength to support this type of fatigue. So be careful. So I stop for today because it is a lot of things and I know it is not very funny to listen to, but it's useful to know. If you like, leave me a comment on this episode. You can write me an email or a message on Instagram as you like. I leave you all the contacts below and I hope you will like this little project of mine. I'm going to post an episode every week or every other week. So in order not to miss them, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or on the platform you are listening the audio from. Bye bye from Italy.